Trendstorm.
Welcome back to Trendstorm. Now let's take a look at how the Grenfell Tower tragedy might be a game changer for the UK. The tragic deaths of an ever-rising number of people after a sudden fire in London's Grenfell Tower high-rise have galvanized political activists and become a political firestorm for Prime Minister May. The exact details and death count are still emerging even to this day, but what's known so far is that cheap and fire-prone cladding was recently installed in the building as part of a gentrification policy, and that local officials tried to gag a blogger for warning about the danger that new works in the building presented. Some voices are already alleging a deliberate cover-up, but it's far too early to know for certain whether one occurred or not. That, however, hasn't stopped people from protesting for a variety of reasons, be it the perceived neglect that the government has shown to disadvantaged communities over the years, or what they perceive to be the rampant corruption which allowed the cheap cladding to be installed in the first place. What's important to keep in mind is that these disparate but increasingly converging protests are coming at a moment of political instability in the UK. Prime Minister May is struggling to prepare for contentious Brexit talks after forming a controversial ruling coalition with the Northern Irish Democratic Unionist Party. The whole reason why the Tories had to join forces with this group is because May unceremoniously lost her party's previous parliamentary majority after a failed gamble to hold early elections at the beginning of this month. This, in turn, emboldened the political opposition, which feels that Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn stands a very realistic chance at replacing the Prime Minister if her government falls, as some people think it might in the face of the unexpected Grenfell Tower tragedy and attendant protest. Moreover, many people are concerned over the rise of terrorism in the UK and the authorities' questionable response in threatening to censor the internet because of it. So a critical mass of anti-government discontent is evidently brewing. While it's ethically improper in most cases to politicize a tragedy such as this one, there's no avoiding the fact that it is inherently political because of the specific circumstances and overall context in which it's occurring, as the reaction that civil society groups have had to it holds the chance of catalyzing far-reaching political consequences for the country if the present protest trajectory remains on course. All right, folks, so the first guest that we're speaking to today is Mr. Robert Brenchley. He's a local community activist from the UK.
Trendstorm.
All right, Robert, what's the prevailing reason why people are protesting in the wake of the Grenfell Tower tragedy, and how has this event worked to unify different activist groups?
Well, it brought together so many different issues all at once. And there's been protests bubbling away for several years now, ever since Occupy. That triggered a lot of stuff. People have had enough of austerity. We had it under Thatcher. We had a milder version under New Labour. Now we've got a hard version under the Tories again. People's wages have been cut and cut. Rents have gone up and up. It's got to the point where people can't take any more. And then we have this appalling disaster. Everything broke down. It wasn't just inflammable cladding on that block. It was all the safety systems in the block breaking down as well. They even had gas mains, apparently, going up the stairwell, for God's sake, and one of them was broken and on fire. So how are people going to evacuate down that? And it just produced this wave of absolute horror that such a thing could happen all over our television screens, something that should be completely impossible. I lived in a tower block for myself for several years and took an interest in safety after I saw a block burning several miles away. That was a one-off, I think. We haven't had a similar incident to that one. But it just appalled everybody. And it produced this upsurge of anger, mostly in London, I think, that my daughter's been telling me about, but also across the country.
Yeah, it almost sounds to me like this was the catalyst for sparking larger protests, and there was a lot of pressure already building. So what I want to ask you next, Robert, then, is, I mean, this, you know, tragedy and the resultant protests, they're occurring at a very tenuous political time in the UK. I mean, Prime Minister May is struggling to govern, while at the same time, she's preparing for complicated Brexit talks. So what impact do you think that these energized grassroots movements can have on the government's stability?
It can only help it destabilize it, but it's not stable in the first place. I can remember several minority governments during my lifetime. Only one of them has lasted more than a few months. That was Callaghan at the end of the 70s. And the Parliamentary Labour Party had a degree of discipline then that the Tories had never matched. It was not stable to start off with. And there's this wave of protest, incident after incident. I've been to four vigils in the city centre in the last few weeks, three of them terrorism, one last night on Grenfell. People are just totally weary of it all, and they want rid of her.
Yeah, it almost seems like this is being directed against me personally then, if I understand you correctly. Like, they're channeling the anger from, you know, the Tower tragedy against Prime Minister May. Do I get you right?
Not just against her, against her party, against the whole structure of austerity. It was against Thatcher back in the 80s, late 80s. She went, they put Major in, and because they got rid of the figurehead, they managed to win another election, of course. I don't see that happening this time.
Okay, so if I understand you then, these protests, they kind of do remind us of the Occupy Wall Street in the United States in the sense that they're anti-establishment, anti-systemic then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, how sustainable do you think they are then? I mean, it seems like right now their momentum is growing, at least in its present state. But what do you think would be the implications if these protests last all throughout the summer or beyond? I mean, what's your forecast on all this, Robert?
The protests will continue, not necessarily on Grenfell. It's never been that focused. It's been this issue this month, that issue next month. But there's this common thread of austerity running through it all. And I've been watching it build up from the very small anti-bedroom tax protests we started out with some years ago to a situation now where there are protests of some sort most weeks. We regularly get several hundred coming out. This is in a city with quite a right-wing history. Birmingham is not known for large protests. It's been building up, and I don't think that's going to stop. If it isn't Grenfell Tower, it'll be something else.
Well, are there any tangible political objectives that the protesters want to have met? I mean, what's the answer or solution that they're looking for?
The end of the Tory government, the end of austerity. And it's not always very clearly expressed, but that is the common thread. That's what ties it all together.
Okay, so do you think then maybe Jeremy Corbyn replacing Ms. May as Prime Minister might be at least a temporary solution that the protesters are looking for?
Yes. I think if he becomes Prime Minister, protests will pretty much come to a halt. I saw the same thing happen when New Labour came in. Of course, it depends whether he fulfills his promises or not, because people have been let down by the Labour Party so many times before. I don't think they'll have it again. This time, I think they're on a last chance that they either keep their promises, they either help people, they either bring an end to austerity, or it's likely to finish them.
All right, Robert, that was a mighty fine analysis. Thank you very much for sharing it with us. And now we're going to switch over and speak to Dr. Richard Willings. He is head of transport at the Institute of Economic Affairs in London. Hello, Dr. Willings.
Trendstorm.
All right, Dr. Willings, what's your reaction to people protesting after the Grenfell Tower tragedy, and how justified do you think their concerns are?
Yeah, obviously, it was completely understandable because this is just such a terrible tragedy, and I do think that the government was somewhat slow to react to its scale, and that's kind of inevitable because government bureaucracies are, of course, cumbersome and slow, very inflexible, and just couldn't really cope with the scale of this tragedy.
Okay, well, why do you think they were so slow, and how do you think they should have reacted? I mean, you mentioned that the bureaucracy was an impediment here, but what do you think would have been the optimal response that could have precluded these protests?
Well, I think, you know, what subsequently happened is that they have got more of a grip of the situation, and they've sorted out long-term housing for a high proportion of the residents now with a luxury block a mile away in Kensington with lots of flats there that are going to go to some of the families of the victims and the homeless people made from the tragedy. They've also really put a lot more personnel into the problem as well and pushed them into the local council to help out. So there has been a reaction now, but the problem was there was frustration because it was quite slow in coming.
Okay, I see. Well, I mean, since it was so slow and we already do have these protests, I know that they're occurring at a very particular context. I mean, we have Brexit talks right around the corner. The country's very polarized. Ms. May unceremoniously lost her party's parliamentary majority. So do you think that these protests can actually evolve to have more of an overt political character, perhaps maybe even outright support in the Labour Party?
Well, I do think that the tragedy was to some extent exploited by the hard left. So when the protesters stormed the local council offices, it was clear that a lot of the protesters there weren't local residents. They were people who'd come in from outside and were members of hard left groups like the Socialist Worker Party. But I think that sort of thing has died down quite a lot. So when we saw the Day of Rage yesterday, the turnout was very poor and disappointing for the organisers. So it hasn't turned into something wider. It was quite a localised phenomenon, or at least at the moment that's been the case.
Okay, how are people reacting to this? I mean, you mentioned that the protests were exploited by the hard left. I mean, what's the general perception over this happening and over, as you say, the left in some way politicising the protest over this tragedy?
Well, I mean, there's a division of opinion, but I think quite a lot of people, including large parts of the media, and I think some of the local residents were pretty disgusted by these activists exploiting the tragedy. Instead of focusing on delivering practical help to the victims, which I think is the overriding priority.
Okay, so how far do you think these protests will go? I think you mentioned that they were kind of fizzling out, at least so far, according to your observation. And what do you think the May government will do in response to them?
Well, I mean, it's difficult to tell. I mean, if the government makes further mistakes on this issue, then it could cause the protest to flare up again. And unfortunately, the particular local area where this tragedy occurred has got a long history of urban unrest. So there have been problems before in that particular community, which makes, I think, that partly explains the strength of the government's response now, even if it was late in coming. But then again, you know, I think it's important not to read too much into how particular local groups and how the hard left respond, because there is obviously a silent majority in the country that might take a very different view. But given that the government is weak, then any kind of trouble could be a big problem for them.
Okay, so overall, the last thing I want to ask you about is the state of political polarization in the UK today. I mean, obviously, the UK seems, at least from my perspective, to be pretty sharply divided between the left and the right, Corbyn and May, and also Remain and Brexit. So, I mean, the fact that we have these protests occurring at this time, how do you see it kind of impacting on that that very tense balance, if you will?
Well, I think that's partly a misperception, because a lot of observers, particularly abroad, see Theresa May as someone who's right-wing, but she isn't. In fact, she's a centrist. She's on the wet side of the Conservative Party, and she has a lot in common with the majority of Labour MPs who are Blairites, if you like, people who supported Tony Blair, who were very unhappy with Jeremy Corbyn's election. So those, if you like, centrists in the Labour Party, they're going along with Jeremy Corbyn because he did well in the election, but they don't really support his views. They're much more towards the Conservatives in what they believe in. So, in fact, the vast majority of MPs sort of believe in pretty much the same kind of policies, and Jeremy Corbyn's a bit of an outlier, but he has got a lot of public support at the moment.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Dr. Wellings, for this really enlightening conversation. I enjoyed speaking to you, and I hope you'll come on the program again sometime. Thank you very much.
Trendstorm.
All right, folks, if we reflect on what Robert and Dr. Richard share with us today, I think that we can agree that, yeah, the UK is polarized, but the extent of polarization is debatable. We do have these protests that are occurring at a very tense political time, but at the same time, though, I mean, we can't overestimate their impact, but we also can't discount the force that they could have, because there are a lot of distraught individuals. The question is, how representative are those protesters of the majority, and how big is the so-called silent majority? Because at the end of the day, even though Ms. May did lose her parliamentary majority, she did end up ultimately winning the election. So we need to keep that in mind, but we need to also consider that what's happening nowadays, there are many paradigm shifts all across the world, and perhaps maybe one is unfolding slowly but surely in the UK. We'll just have to see. So folks, if you want to sound off and share what you think about this, please send us an email at radio@sputniknews.com or find us on Facebook. Stay with us.